In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you. And his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. This prophecy from Isaiah came at a dark time in Israel's history. The prophet writes to a people experiencing oppression, exile, and slavery. Their society, their culture, their religion have been smashed. They have been uprooted from their homes and their communities and plopped down into foreign lands. They are involuntary immigrants and reluctant refugees. Their very identity has been erased, and with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, their connection to God has been lost. Isaiah responds to the people's loss with a message of hope. God, who has seemed absent, will soon be present again. God will manifest God's self in the people's midst, and it will be a joyful occasion if only they had the eyes to see. Israel has been a people in captivity, and Isaiah promises that they will trade places with their captors. The world order will be inverted. The tables will be turned, the nations will bring you tribute, and those who oppress you now will serve you instead. Now, the story goes on, and God did rescue Israel from their captivity, and you can read about that in later books of the Bible, like Ezra and Nehemiah. But Israel never did achieve a soul-distorting turning of the tables. God did not return tit for tat to those who had oppressed God's people. God did not enable Israel to become an imperial power like those who had been over them, as might have seemed just. And so not everyone was able to recognize God's saving activity. When God fulfills God's promises, God does so in surprising ways. Tonight's gospel, the event we gather to celebrate tonight with the Feast of Epiphany, constitutes a further and even stranger fulfillment of Isaiah's promise. This company of magi, these religious practitioners who were definitely not Jewish, shows up in Palestine, riding camels and bearing gifts. They seem to answer in concrete form the prophecy of Isaiah, bringing the wealth of other nations, gold and frankincense, as were promised explicitly by Isaiah, and some myrrh as well. And they came to worship Jesus, a Jewish child of no particular prominence, the son of a carpenter. And so these expectations of imperial tribute are subverted into a gentle gift offered once to a tiny child. And so God's promise, spoken through the prophet Isaiah, is fulfilled once more, and once more in a surprising way. Epiphany is the feast on which we mark the surprising manifestation of God in the flesh, not to Jews only, but to Gentiles, like most of us. These Gentiles, these exotic magi whose religious practice centered on the study of the stars, had discerned through their own practices and life experience that this child was someone important. This child was someone worthy of worship. This child was someone who would change their lives. The Magi recognized that God was doing something new, making God's self known, becoming manifest in Jesus. The gifts they brought to the Holy Family were not merely gold and frankincense and myrrh, but also their experiences of God and their understanding of who Jesus was. And so the former gifts may have been helpful to Jesus' family as they became political refugees in Africa, but it was the latter gifts that Mary chose to treasure in her heart. From these Gentiles, these Magi, the Blessed Virgin Mary learned about who her son was and what it might mean for him to be the Savior of the world. And so from the Magi, Mary learned to see the fingerprints of God. Now at Epiphany Parish, we look to Scripture, to liturgy, to relationships, to teach us about God. These things teach us about how God acts in our world and in our lives. By examining the writings of those who went before us, or the experiences of those around us, our minds become attuned to these common themes like resurrection, redemption, abundance, faithfulness, and grace. Themes that are characteristic both of God and the world which God created. These are God's fingerprints, the surprising ways that God operates in the world. It takes practice to learn to recognize them. And so as we learn to think naturally that the kingdom of God is this close, or that the world is a perfectly safe place to be, or that relationship is primary, as our own minds are formed and reformed by these ideas, as we experience repentance and transformation, we learn to think in terms of these themes, and thus to be able to recognize God's fingerprints, God's activity among us. It's like when I was a teenager. In high school, a friend began driving this old VW Super Beetle that he'd restored. And this was fascinating to me. Suddenly, I saw air-cooled VWs everywhere on the road. They were really common. They had always been there, but I had not noticed them before. Suddenly, my mind was ready and eager to notice them. My eyes were opened. Suddenly, I had eyes to see. And so God's fingerprints, the eternal ideas that we learn from Scripture and liturgy and relationships, are scattered throughout the world liberally if only we have the eyes to see. As we become skilled at recognizing the surprising ways in which God fulfills God's promises, we learn to recognize God's fingerprints, even in the words and the rituals and the experiences of strangers. We are then able to embrace others because we see God's fingerprints in them, precious treasures that enrich our own lives of faith. So God continues to fulfill God's promises in surprising ways. Pilgrims from Epiphany are among those nations streaming into Jerusalem this very night. Although Jerusalem is on the other side of the world, so it's actually morning for them. But pilgrims from among us are there today, bringing with them their tourist dollars and their pilgrims' hearts. These are the treasures that sustain the economy of modern Jerusalem. And so God's promise, spoken in Isaiah, continues to be fulfilled. And we are a part of that. God's promise is fulfilled once more in a surprising way. And we are bearers of God's fingerprints. Epiphany Parish is itself another Jerusalem, another place where God is fulfilling God's promises in surprising ways. Nestled in the heights of Madrona, on the east edge of Seattle, we manifest Christ, the Savior of the world, the loving, vulnerable presence of God. We are a shining light and a beacon for all to see. and I hope that you have noticed what I have witnessed. Strangers, people that we have not met before, come into our midst almost every week. They come like the Magi, bringing with them their own religious practices and their own life experiences. They come bringing with them their own history with God. They come as gifts from God, entrusted to our care, and we are entrusted to their care as well. We are not left here to stagnate, but in relationship with others, we are each drawn ever more deeply into our shared life with God. And so God's promise, spoken through Isaiah, continues to be fulfilled among us, and always in surprising ways. On the Feast of the Epiphany, we join together to celebrate a feast of the church and also the fact of our own parish's existence. We celebrate the history of who we have been, who we are now, and who we shall be in the future. We recognize those among us who have been members their whole lives, those who have arrived to be among us more recently, and we anticipate those who will be with us in the future. Here at Epiphany, our job is to be a community that sees and thrills and rejoices in the kingdom of God and the praise of the Lord. By being, just by being who we are, we will attract kindred souls, magi, wise women and wise men to come and to be among us. And so God's promise, spoken through the prophet Isaiah, will continue to be fulfilled among us. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.